Good morning and welcome to Byers & Company, this Monday edition hosted by Wayne Kent, filling in for the vacationing Brian Byers. This hour, Huey Freeman, the author of Who Shot Nick Ivey, sits in with Wayne. And later on, we've got Tanya Andrix, we've got Mark Tupper, and so much more.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning. 7 minutes after the hour, friends. If you're supposed to be at work by 8, it's probably time to no longer be horizontal, I would think. If you're supposed to be at work by 7, you got a problem. You got a problem. I'm glad you're with us. My name is Wayne Kent. I'm sitting in for Brian Byers. We're in a little bit chilly weather. They're not. I saw a photo last night that they're enjoying the warm weather of Hawaii, and I wasn't jealous. I was only bitter about it. That's all. But I'll get past it. I'm sure I will. And I'm looking forward to spending the next hour with you and also a dear friend of mine, Huey Freeman. We haven't seen each other. Well, you were so graciously. Thank you for your kindness in coming to my mother-in-law's memorial service. That was very kind of you to do that.
I love you, you and Leslie.
Well, thank you so much for your kindness. And but we haven't got to see each other a little bit so much of the last couple of years, just the way things have turned out. Is that a good way to put it?
That's a very good way to put it.
You served the community at the Herald and Review for how long?
17 years.
Where'd you come from? Perhaps people that we'd have some newcomers who aren't unfamiliar with your story. So how did you end up at the Herald and Review?
Well, I was really called to be a writer when I became a Christian back in the 1970s. And I came from a Jewish background, so I had no desire to be a Christian. And I had a tremendous conversion story where God started speaking to me when I was hiking in the mountains out in Oregon. And I had, at the same time, one of my friends from back in seventh grade who was Jewish had become a Christian. It was the Jesus Freak days. So that was an important part of my story, that when I started praying and I was at an evangelistic meeting, and a preacher said that the three most important choices you have to make in your life, number one, whether or not you're going to follow Jesus, number two, your career, and number three, who you're going to marry. And I was a young man and in my early 20s, and God spoke to me and said that I should be a writer. So that started me on a path where I had already written a screenplay. I have been attending film school in San Francisco, and I was encouraged that I had the talent to be a writer. So I saw myself as a creative writer. Make a long story short, I ended up going back to school because I was a wonderful creative writer who was not making a dime with my writings. And so I went back to school in journalism, and I got 2 degrees at the University of Illinois in journalism. And right out of school, I had a couple other jobs, and then I ended up at the Herald and Review.
Do you miss the creative writing?
I don't miss it because, like, now, the book that I just wrote, Who Shot Nick Ivey, that's a creative venture to the ultimate degree. So, I mean, it's like, I don't miss it. I like nonfiction better than fiction, which I think it should be turned around. It should be called... The books that I like more now, they should be called fact, and then fiction should be called non-fact.
Okay, so you'd want to change the nomenclature.
I want to change the nomenclature because why is fiction king, and then everything that not what's not truthful, which is fiction. Anyway, but no, I love writing truthful stories, and I loved writing for the Herald and Review because I love covering the religion beat where I met you.
Right, right.
Which was, I love that. I did that for 6 years, and then they put me on the crime beat, and I love that even more.
It's interesting to me that you ended up with religion and crime beat. You didn't do them at the same time, but it wouldn't be far off at times. Nick, you kind of, I would think you would be a creative writer, are you? Do you like to write?
I did as a kid. I was in the young authors competitions and stuff like that. I like to read. I like to be creative, but I haven't sat down and made anything in long form.
I would say this. I think of you, when I think of you, I always think of a Renaissance man.
Oh, all right.
Which is, in my opinion, is quite a compliment, to be honest.
Oh, well, thank you.
Because it's like, you know, a little bit of everything, and you're willing to try all kinds. I just listening to you and watching you over the last few years since I don't really know Nick Huey. Not like I know you. Mm-hmm. But it seems to me you're that kind of guy. Would that fit your style, do you think?
Yeah, and I think that if I was charged with writing something out, I would love to do it. Things don't make the list, you know, of there's only so many hours in the day.
Right. So I'm wondering, Huey, are there Renaissance, you know, like I said, are there Renaissance men around these days or Renaissance? I mean, it's a term that's applied to men, not to women for the most part.
Well, I think you're a Renaissance man. You were just talking about being a musician and you're a preacher and a teacher and you're a radio host.
Weird. It's all together. How did all that turn out? I never figured that out.
Well, I think that God just has a way of, you know, giving different gifts to different people.
So when I was on the road at one point, you know, we used to travel in a bus. You know how bands travel in a bus, and had a variety of different buses over the years. And there was at one point, I don't know why they did this. You know, you could have buses. This is in the 70s and 80s, and they would have a sign at the top of the bus, you know, like private coach or whatever, or special. You remember those things?
Definitely.
Yeah, and it was this. There were these canvas rolls that you could roll through. I don't know why they did at one point, but they at one point for about 3 months it said the Wing Kid Dog and Pony Road. it wasn't even my band, but it was just this funny thing that people say. Well, if someone's gonna try something different, Wayne will do it. So we call it the Wing Kid Dog and Pony Road Show. It's very interesting, but nonetheless. So you ended up in Decatur. What was your first beat? Just straight up news.
First beat was very exciting. They needed someone who would cover the city, the county, and the housing authority all at the same time.
Wait, I don't understand. The housing authority, what's that?
The Decatur Housing Authority, they administer all the housing for people who low income people.
I understand. I just didn't know that there was a lot of news there.
There was at that time a tremendous amount of news because they were getting ready to tear down Longview, and they were had this huge grant where they were going to build all that new housing, that Wabash Crossing housing. Right. So it was a tremendous amount of news. It was like one of the top stories of the time at that time.
Interesting. What was the hardest part about being a writer for a news agency?
Well, I would say the hardest part was dealing with people who were in charge. I mean, that was extremely difficult. But up until that point, which really just started in 2000, I had wonderful people to work with. And I can't even say it was hard. I mean, when I first started, it was hard to do everything on time because I was overloaded. And then they wanted me to work limited hours where I needed 60 hours a week to do what they wanted me to do in 40 hours a week.
And that's typical of how a lot of us have to, you know, a lot of people have to work these days.
Well, and it was fine with me. Finally, I just decided I'm not going to put in for overtime because it was a fight over using overtime. I'll just work as long as it takes, and I'll take my 40 hours. And I did that for many years.
Are there stories that stick in your brain? Okay, here it is years later, and you go, man, that really had an impact upon me.
There are so many stories. I don't know, one comes to come to mind. First of all, I was very fortunate 5 years ago to write a book which included a lot of my best stories, the Legendary Locals of Decatur, and I had many memorable stories. I would say the stories...
Is that book still available?
Yes, that book is still available, Legendary Locals of Decatur, Arcadia Books. And
did it sell well?
I think for a local book, it did very well. It took off very well. I got to say, the people in Decatur will support you, and my heart is really touched deeply how well people in Decatur have supported my new book, because I really wasn't going to publicize it so much here, because the book it's a national story, but it's very much more localized in Arizona on the border where it occurred, and I was thought I would just focus on publicizing out of Arizona and hopefully get some national publicity. But my heart is really touched deeply that I've been invited to do a lot of local publicity because Decatur was so, so good to me. I love Decatur, and I don't live in Decatur. We live in Piatt County.
But you've lived there all.
I lived in Piatt County since before I got the job at the Decatur Herald Review, which works out great because my wife works at the University of Illinois in Urbana.
So she'd go one way, you'd go the other way.
She goes one way, and she still has her full-time job, which, of course, she's off today for Martin Luther King Day. So she still has her full-time job. But when I lost my job here at the Decatur Herald Review 2.5 years ago. The timing actually, and I say it's a providential thing. I had just started writing this book while I worked full-time at the Herald Review. And then when that job went away, then I just did this job working on this book full-time.
So before we get to the book, I want to ask you this question. I've asked pretty well every guest we've had in while I've been filling in for Brian in the last few, you know, back before this holidays ended and this week as well. In the fourth grade, what did you want to be? Let's start by saying, can you remember the fourth grade? Remember where?
I could remember the third grade really well because I went from one school in East Rogers Park in Chicago to a different school in West Rogers Park in Chicago.
So in third grade, whereabouts in the room did you sit when you went to the second school? Do you remember?
I don't remember. What I remember is I already knew some of the kids, and I was all about making friends with all the kids and making everybody laugh.
How old are you in third grade? You're about eight.
Eight
or nine, yeah?
Eight, yeah.
Third and fourth grade, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I didn't have a definite focus, but I think early on I felt like three things I was gifted in. Number one was making people laugh. Number two was making friends. And then it was dawning on me that being a writer was kind of a cool thing. And I was co-editor of my newspaper in sixth grade, and our school newspaper in sixth grade.
So it was already kind of planted way back then.
It was planted that I would enjoy writing. I would go on trips with my family. I'd write funny postcards to my friends, and I would write. I enjoyed writing to a great extent, but I didn't sit still really well. I was very hyperactive. Thank God they didn't have drugs in those days. So I was running. We were running around outside playing sports all the time, getting into trouble all the time. And so to sit still and write a lot and really rewrite and rewrite was not my cup of tea.
I find it hard to think that you were like running around a bunch because I don't see that in your personality today.
Well, you know, isn't it amazing how God changes you? And because if you knew half the stuff that me and my friends did when we were growing up on the streets of Chicago, you would be absolutely shocked. Because
Tell me one story. Well, like what?
Well, I mean, we would get at 10 years old, my mom finally thought, oh, I could leave my boys home and work in the summer.
Right.
So we would get on our bikes, you know, in the morning, 10 years old, and ride down to the beach. And we would get in all kinds of trouble, you know. I mean, we would just do whatever came to our little fool heads, basically.
I think children miss that, though, today.
We have so much independence. I can really tell you stories all day and night. My wife keeps telling me I have to write a book about it because I get together with my – I'm still friends with a lot of those guys I grew up with. I still see them, and we start telling stories. I might literally die laughing. I mean, my heart starts – I get – severe pain sometimes. I laugh so hard about
stuff. I spent my teenage years in Vancouver, Canada, which is very, very hilly. It's mountainous. Mm-hmm. And we used to get, so this is 13, 14 years of age. I remember getting a 10-speed. So this is early, early 70s. And we'd get on our bikes in the summer, and we would ride that whole city. And we'd make certain that we always went down the steepest hill in the city. And it was probably a half mile long, maybe 7 or 8 blocks long, this steep hill. And no side streets coming in against you, so you didn't have to worry about traffic. And we'd let that thing fly down there. I bet we were doing 60 miles an hour by the time we hit the bottom. You'd be hanging on for dear life. No helmets.
No one had any helmets. No one even thought of that. Okay, do you want me to tell you a quick story?
I'll tell you what. We'll take a break for the weather.
Okay.
And when we come back, we'll have a quick story from Huey Freeman from Chicago in days gone by. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. This is News Talk 1340 WSOY.
Here's a look at your WSOY 3-day weather forecast today. We've got a chance of flurries till about 10 a.m. It'll be mostly cloudy with a high near 23 and wind chill values between -3 and -7. Tonight will be mostly cloudy and then clear with a low around 14. Tomorrow, Tuesday, will be sunny with a high of 30 and Wednesday a little warmer, mostly cloudy with a high near 38. Current temperature in downtown Decatur is 11 degrees and your WSOY time is 7:21.
Hi, this is Amy from Gustafson & Associates. These days, you have enough to worry about. Don't add the stress of getting your taxes done to that list. Just trust the experts at Gustafson & Associates. When you want the most for your money, trust Gustafson & Associates. When you want to make sure this year's tax preparation is a lot easier, when you want to make sure you get every deduction you're entitled to, when you want to save time, money, and headaches, trust Gustafson & Associates to give you a hand. With our skill and knowledge of the latest tax laws, our knowledgeable accountants will help you get every deduction and make sure you get the biggest refund possible. We will prepare your tax return faster and easier than you'd ever dreamed. Call 875-2500 and have the same person take care of your taxes every year. Someone you know and trust. Someone who's there to answer your questions all year long. Get the professionals who deliver personal service. Gustafson & Associates, 875-2500, located at the corner of Martin Luther King Jr. Drive and Pershing Road in Decatur.
Looking for a great used car? Think CPOV at BBAM. That would be Certified Pre-Owned Vehicles at the Bob Brady Auto Mall. Now you might be saying, why a CPOV at the BBAM? That's easy.
Selected.
Every certified pre-owned vehicle Brady sells is late model and low miles. These are the cars you'd choose yourself if you took the time to troll every website and visit every car lot. Don't waste your time. Brady has them all in one place.
Inspected.
Every CPOV undergoes an extensive safety inspection. Every detail is perfect with a Bob Brady certified pre-owned vehicle.
Protected.
Every Brady CPOV comes complete with up to a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. How can Brady do that? With cars and trucks this good, it's easy.
And never neglect.
Check out CPOVs from Chrysler, Ram, Jeep, Dodge, Fiat, Honda, and Hyundai now at the BBAM. It's the Bob Brady Auto Mall, I-72 at exit 144, Decatur.
You're listening to Buyers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Welcome back, friends. It's 23 minutes after the hour. Nick, are we supposed to somewhere along the line to tell people to remind people they're supposed to go out and listen to podcasts and all that sort of stuff? What's the right nomenclature for all of that?
NowDecatur.com. All of this will be available for playback at NowDecatur.com or any of the other places that you get podcasts. But NowDecatur.com has all the individual interviews and complete editions of the shows, all the shows, Eric Lee's show, your show. The Monday show, I mean, all of the shows
right. And
are
so
available.
Here's what happens, ladies and gentlemen. After every interview in the last, I don't know, 3 months, there's always somebody out in the outer lobby saying, can we have your photo with your guest? And it all ends up on NowDecatur.com. It's very cool.
That's
so
right.
So if I want to go back and say, who did I visit with lately and so forth, it's all there, NowDecatur.com. Do you know, Nick, we have listeners that, because of my family, we have listeners in Australia even.
All around the world.
All around the world, absolutely. Very good. Oh, okay, so I'm filling in for Brian Byers today, and joining me in the studio today, it's a good friend of mine, Huey Freeman, wrote for the Herald and Review, you say for 17 years? Is that
That's correct.
But you grew up in the Chicago area.
In Chicago.
And before we went to break, you mentioned that when you were a kid, you guys used to ride around Chicago on your bikes and everything, and you said you had a story about, well, go, let's take it away.
Well, we were 11, and I know that because I can remember specifically the year that it occurred. And we were just out riding our bikes. Sometimes we were just aiming one direction. We'd go along the lake, go downtown. We would just go north, go up to Wisconsin. And this time, we just went
go
west.
Go north and go to Wisconsin?
Yeah, we go something like 40, 50 miles. We'd just go on our bikes and just ride along Sheridan Road for the day. We'd right. get it start in the morning. And we'd meet at our corner.
So my kids did that. My son did that 1 year when he's about 13 years old. Well, me and my friend, Jordan Peck, we're gonna ride. So we want to ride to Clinton. I'm going, oh, they're probably about 13, 14 years of age. And you go, okay, put your helmets on and off you go. They would go out a long time. Somehow they made a wrong turn. They ended up in Weldon Springs. We keep going.
Wrong turns are hard. Well, this story is about a wrong turn. So we're driving along. We were just going west on Devon Avenue, and we found this, like, enormous expanse of concrete. And we just went in on it because we love going doing wheelies and going doing in circles.
Concrete.
Just a lot of concrete, like a huge parking lot, the biggest parking lot we've ever seen. And we just went in there, and we're just doing this and that. All of a sudden, a cop car is coming, like, full speed right at us. And he gets out, and he goes, you know, where the heck do you guys come from? What are you guys doing here? And we go, what? And he goes, you're on the runway. We were in O'Hare Airport. It was a pretty new airport at that time. We were on the runway. And he took us into the airport, to the little police station in the airport, and called our parents and said,
are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you.
Were planes landing all that?
Were we that stupid? Yes. I mean, we didn't even know we were in the airport. And they were interrogating us. Where did you get in? Where did you breach security? And we were like, we don't know. We don't, you know, it was over there. We pointed over there. They wanted to know where was the breach in the fence that we just went on to.
And you didn't realize it was O'Hare?
We did not realize it was O'Hare. I don't know why in retrospect. It obviously wasn't that busy. It was a fairly new airport. But within a few years after that, it was the busiest airport in the world.
Did they make your parents come pick you up?
No.
They just said, go on your way, boys?
Yeah, they called up our parents to tell us what we were doing.
Can you imagine that sort of thing happening today?
Well, like you say, it's a different atmosphere. I mean, even when we raised our kids, we have three daughters. We didn't let our girls just go around when they were 10 years old, go wherever they wanted to go. No way.
Have we missed something in that?
I think we miss a lot. I mean, as far as, you know, kids today don't spend a lot of time outside on their own. We did most of our sports on our own. We had our own teams. We had a softball team when we were kids. And we would play other clubs, what my wife likes to say, our Jewish street gang. You know, I mean, we had our club jackets, and we would play other clubs.
And no adults were organizing this?
No, and no adults had anything to do with it. We consider adults our enemies, basically.
Nick, is this the way you were raised?
I was all over the place. All over the place. I think I was raised all right. And my parents were really nice.
Yeah.
To me.
Somewhere along the line here, I'll tell you a story about what happened when those two buddies, Ben Kent and Jordan Peck, went to the fair one time in Forsyth Fair. It's called When the Rides Are Free. Doesn't mean you should go on them over and over and over again. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break here in just a moment or two because we have to listen to the news and the weather and all that sort of stuff. Joining us in the studio today is a good friend of mine, Huey Freeman, and he was gracious enough to include Leslie and Me in your book, one of your last books. But we're going to come back and we'll chat about your latest book, which, give us a tease, what's it about?
It's about a Border Patrol agent who was shot to death while he was on duty in October 2012, and then the government covered it up. He was shot in an ambush by smugglers. It was right before the 2012 election. And then 3 days after the shooting, where all the publicity, all law enforcement said that he was ambushed.
All right, we'll see what we can do to figure out that story and see how you can get a hold of the book. But in the meanwhile, we'll be right back. News Talk 1340 WSOY. Don't go anywhere, friends.
This is Shiler with your stories now, brought to you by Best One of Central Illinois, where the best costs less. Legendary American band Three Dog Night has been announced as the first headline act at the Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater for the 2020 season. Celebrating five decades together, Three Dog Night will take the stage on Friday, June 5th, to perform classic hits such as Mama Told Me Not to Come, Joy to the World, Black and White, Shambhala, One, Liar, Celebrate, and many more. Tickets will go on sale on Friday, February 7th at 10 a.m. at devonamphitheater.com. You can also call 422-5911 or get them in person at 620 East Riverside Avenue. An opening act will be announced later. Need a safe and reliable ride to get you where you need to go? Look no further than Juber, a self-started driving service by James B. Hinton. Juber originated as a safe ride for friends and family, but soon turned into a popular demand of quality service. Service includes rides around the Central Illinois area, food delivery, and their newest addition, renting out a party bus for you and your friends. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to nowdecatur.com.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Trump's legal team is due to present an outline for his Senate impeachment trial defense by noon today. Arguments start tomorrow. And a member of the president's team, Robert Ray, tells Fox,
we don't think that witnesses are appropriate.
The top Senate Democrat, Chuck Schumer.
We are going to demand votes, yes or no, up or down, on the four witnesses we've requested and on the three sets of documents we requested. We will force those votes.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell hasn't yet released a resolution spelling out rules for the trial. Two people are dead, five hurt, in a shooting at a club in San Antonio, Texas. Police Chief William McManus says there was an argument.
One person at least pulled out a gun, started shooting. Don't know if it was at a specific individual. or just shooting indiscriminately.
Nobody at this point is in custody. We're told police were called to the club at about 8 p.m. America's listening to Fox News.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/search. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/search. That's ZipRecruiter.com/search. ZipRecruiter.com/search.
Here's a look at your WSOY 3-day weather forecast. Today we've got a chance of snow flurries before 10 a.m. It'll be mostly cloudy with a high near 23 and wind chill values between -3 and 7 degrees. Tonight's going to be mostly cloudy before clearing up with a low around 14, and Tuesday will be sunny with a high near 30. For your Wednesday, it gets warmer yet, 38 degrees the high on a mostly cloudy day. The current temperature in downtown Decatur is up a degree to 12, and your WSOY time is 7:33.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
And people are just too much for me to face. I climb way up.
Welcome back, friends. 33 minutes after the hour, my pleasure to introduce to you one of the legends of Decatur. Right, Huey? One of the legends of Decatur.
Well, you are definitely, you're recorded as a legend of
Decatur.
Yeah,
right. Mr. Mark Tupper, welcome. I feel like I'm introducing two old friends here to each other.
Absolutely.
You guys sat across the desk from each other for a lot of years. What's going on in the sports world? A few NFL games, a couple of them occurred yesterday.
Indeed. Well, let me just say hi to Huey. Congratulations on your book, Huey. Best of luck with it. Proud of you.
Thanks so much, Mark. It's great. Great to hear your voice.
Yeah, we had two football games yesterday, Wayne. Now we know who's in the Super Bowl. Kansas City will play San Francisco on Sunday, September 2nd, down in Miami, 5:40 p.m. kickoff if you're planning your party. And, you know, I wasn't surprised by either result. I just thought Kansas City would have too much for Tennessee, and Patrick Mahomes, their quarterback, is just special. And he was special yesterday. You know, the 23 of 35 passing for 3 touchdowns, but it was his run right before halftime, 27-yard run down the sideline and into the end zone. That was the play of the game. A stunning run, really, the way he did that and gave Kansas City the lead at the half and had to be demoralizing for Tennessee. And then he just continues to pile it on. And Kansas City's defense did a good job of gang tackling Derrick Henry and did not let him do what he's been doing, which is just to run roughshod over people. He had no carries in the fourth quarter. And that's what happens when you fall behind, and they could not play catch-up with Kansas City. So the Chiefs are going to their first Super Bowl in 50 years. And then in the other game, I was a little surprised at how San Francisco's defense really controlled Green Bay, and a little surprised that Green Bay's defense could not deal with the running game of San Francisco. Raheem Mostert, who's a guy that most people don't even know, rushed for 220 yards and 4 touchdowns. I know him because he played in the Big Ten. He played at Purdue. He was an undrafted guy who I think came into the league in 2015, and this is already his 7th team. He's just been one of those bounce-around guys. He was with the Bears for a little bit, but yesterday he was a superstar, and it allowed Jimmy Garoppolo to basically watch the game. All he did was hand the ball off, and this guy ran all over everybody. And then San Francisco's defense put a lot of pressure on Aaron Rodgers. It was a pretty impressive performance by San Francisco. This is basically a pick 'em game in the Super Bowl. I think right now Kansas City's favored by 1 point. I like Kansas City because I love Patrick Mahomes, and I think they'll win. We'll watch the next 2 weeks and see if there's any new developments, any injuries as these teams work out prior to the Super Bowl. But Kansas City against San Francisco, that should be a pretty good one.
All right, Mark, we'll take a break. A break sponsored by the Staley Credit Union, and we'll be right back, and then we'll see what you've got to say about the Illini basketball. We'll be right back, folks.
Staley Credit Union is proud to announce a new program designed for young adults. It's called WAVE, and it includes everything you need to get on the path to financial freedom. With features like a personal spend account, a smarter debit card, mobile banking, and financial education, it's the tech-savvy way to get your money in order. Learn more today at wave.staleycu.com. This institution is not federally insured by Member Choice, probably insured by American Share Insurance.
Welcome back, friends. Mark, what can you tell us about Illini basketball?
Well, they had a week off and then played Saturday at home against Northwestern and won the game 75-71. I was really impressed with Northwestern. They've got some injuries. They're pretty young. But, man, oh, man, did they make shots. They made eight threes. Every time Illinois would maybe push the lead to four or five or six, Northwestern would answer with a three or a basket or something. And but, you know, one of the things I like about this Illinois team is they've got multiple people who can help you win a game. The other day it was really Trent Frazier mostly, got his jump shot going, made four threes, 16 points. Io DeSumo was very quiet early and then got going, and it was him who hit a late jump shot, made all of his free throws, ended up with 15 points. Georgie Bishanishvili got his jump shot going a little bit too, hit some intermediate length jump shots and hit a three. And then Kofi with 12 and 7 rebounds, and Andres Feliz with 10. So it was just a lot of different people coming at it and staying with it. And they win that game and go to 13-5. Now they're ranked 24th in the current Associated Press Top 25 poll. A new AP poll will come out later today. I would think they'd move up a little bit. And it was good to see Lou and Mary Henson at the game. We got a phone call on Sport Talk last week. Heard about Lou's health. And my answer was I had not heard anything, and no news is good news on that front. I've got people over there who would report to me if something was up with Lou, and I hadn't heard anything. And I thought he might have gone to New Mexico, where they also have a home and they like to go for the winter. But I think the doctors have curtailed his travel, and he was wearing a surgical mask at the game. And given the fact that every other person you run into nowadays is sick or getting over an illness, that's probably a pretty wise decision, but it was good to see him courtside at the game. Illinois' next game, tomorrow night at Purdue, and then this weekend they will be at Michigan, so they're about to be reminded that life on the road is pretty wicked in the Big Ten.
We'll be anxious to see how that game turns out. In the meanwhile, I pray that you and your family have a great day today.
Thank you so much, Wayne. Nice to talk to you.
Okay, take care, man.
Bye.
Huey, you and Mark grew up sort of not together, but together, didn't you?
Well, we grew up, we're almost the same age, and we grew up in adjoining neighborhoods. I was in the city of Chicago on the far north side, and he grew up in Evanston.
Did you ever hang out together?
No, I never knew him until, I'll tell you this, this is really true. When I came to work at the Herald Review, I have friends in Chicago who knew Mark Tupper, who said that he was the best guy on the Illini, because some of my friends are much bigger Illini basketball and football fans, and they already knew about Mark Tupper at the Decatur Herald and Review. And to be honest with you, I don't think any of those guys could have found Decatur on a map.
But your group of kids didn't beat up his group of kids.
Well, he told me he used to come and eat at Paul's Umbrella, which was on the street corner that we hung out. And we weren't.
Because
really,
it's sounding, the more I'm listening to you, you sound like you really were in a kid gang.
It wasn't like we didn't have
knives. Gangs like we'd say today.
We didn't have knives and guns, but we did horrible things. Like we would play poker and blackjack in the park when we were like 14, 15 years old, and the cops would come. This is always a different atmosphere. We'd be in the middle of this enormous park, like in a huddle, and there'd be many other people in these card games, and there'd be a total of like $10 or $15 in the pot. And the cops would come, you know, at night with their, you know, just full speed toward us, and you know, and everyone would grab money and scatter, and what they call quailing, you know, just scatter in every direction.
There's more to your story than I think I want to know. All right, we'll do this. We're going to take a break. We get back from the break, we're going to learn all about Huey's latest book. This is the Markey Coffee Break time, friends. Markey Coffee has been fresh roasting coffee locally in Decatur for more than 30 years. Markey Coffee is the official drink of choice for discerning coffee drinkers everywhere, and the magic is in their beans.
Hey, if you need to sell your home without all the headaches most people experience, hey, Sean Hannity here to tell you that after years of buying, selling, investing millions of dollars in real estate, that all real estate agents do not operate the same way. Now, what makes the difference between a home selling fast and for top dollar and one that sits on the market for months and doesn't even sell at all? Well, you have a great team of great Americans right there in your backyard that I trust if I needed to sell my home. I'm talking about the Glenda Williamson Realty Team. They have a system that outmarkets and outsells 99% of other agents in the Decatur area. The Glenda Williamson Team spend thousands of dollars every month and create demand for your home, which makes it sell faster and for more money. Now, you risk nothing because if at any point you're not happy, well, you can get out of the contract free and clear and pay nothing. But trust me, that's not going to happen. Call the Glenda Williamson Team today at 217-875-8081. On the web, glendawilliamson.com. That's glendawilliamson.com. And you can start packing.
At HSHS St. Mary's Hospital, we're hiring nurses. We'll help you grow your nursing career. We believe education and development is essential to providing the highest quality of care. We will support your choices, help you achieve your goals, and reward you for excellence. Whether you are a seasoned professional or a recent graduate, we have exciting opportunities. Join our team of experts and take your career to the next level.
It's the NowDecatur.com ticket window, brought to you by First Mid Insurance Group. Make sure you listen to Buyers and Company every weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. and the Eric Lee Show from 3 to 5 p.m. for your chance to see the Fighting Illini at the State Farm Center this season. The NowDecatur.com ticket window, presented by First Mid Insurance Group, on your home for Illini basketball, WSOY Decatur.
Frazier heads it to Sybil for the win!
You're listening to Buyers and Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Welcome back, friends. 44 minutes after the hour. If you're supposed to be at work by 4, may I suggest you get on the stick and get out there, okay? But in the meanwhile, while you're driving to work today, Huey Freeman and I have had lots of chats over the years. And you left the Herald Review 2.5 years ago. Is that about right?
That's correct. May 2017.
And in the meanwhile, you've been writing this book, Who Shot Nick Ivey? Tell us about who was Nick Ivey. Let's start there.
Nick Ivey was a 30-year-old Border Patrol agent. He had been on the force for almost 5 years.
Did he have a family?
He had a wife and two little girls.
Okay. And so his job was to do what?
He was a line agent, so he patrolled the Cochise County area. He worked out of a Border Patrol station that was called the Brian Terry Border Patrol Station. It was a brand new one. It's about 2-3 miles north of the border. It just had been in the little town of Naco, which is a border town, and they just moved it a little bit north of there. And his job was to get in a vehicle, and often he was a horse patrol agent, which is an exclusive group. There's only maybe 5 to 10 horse patrol agents out in each station, and he was a great horse patrol agent. He was also a horse patrol instructor at their academy. He was a horse lover. He was a mild-mannered guy he was a Mormon, and he had done Mormon missionary work in Mexico for 2 years when he was young.
So what's the goal? They go out in a vehicle or on a horseback every day to do what?
To interdict illegal aliens, which in that area are the illegal aliens are smugglers mostly. They're smuggling drugs, and they're smuggling human beings, sex slaves. So during the last 10 years, the Sinaloa drug cartel took over the border, the Arizona border, and they control somewhere like very close to 100% of the legal alien traffic in Arizona. So it's basically interdicting illegal alien traffic, which is smuggling traffic.
So the goal is, as people trying to cross the border, they do arrest them?
Or? They to arrest them and take away their drugs.
And then where do those people go?
Well, that's a really long story, but some of them are immediately deported. If they have a criminal record, they would be taken into custody and they will be processed and they will go to court. The laws are changing, the rules are changing on and off all the time. There was catch and release to a great extent under the Obama administration. At the same time, there were
many
people.
What does that
people,
mean, catch and release? Like,
well, they would take them into
custody. They
wouldn't
put them back out in the
community. Yeah, they were putting illegal aliens who were being trafficked, or some of them they would have to pay an exorbitant amount if they just wanted to come into the country, and they weren't harmful. They actually came here seeking asylum, seeking work. They, under the Obama administration, I want to be fair, a lot of people were deported under the Obama administration, but at the same time, a lot of people, the Border Patrol was told to just take them, process them, and they would process them, fingerprint them at the station, and then they would give them a court date, and the court date, they would release them into the population, and then they wouldn't show up at court because they were people who had decided they wanted to come here. And in spending a lot of time with Border Patrol agents who helped me tremendously with this book, especially two who have been close friends with Nick Ivey, they said it was not uncommon they would capture some illegal alien. And if they captured them right close to the border, sometimes they could deport them immediately. And then the same one would.
So, was there a spot on the other side of the border where the Mexican authorities weren't saying, okay, we weren't just releasing people back into the desert, were we?
They would sometimes they would just put them back into Mexico in any convenient spot, because then they would come back sometimes once or twice again in the same day or the next day. They would recapture the same people. So up until now, there was no real effort to prevent illegal aliens from coming in. In fact, it was quite the opposite, because and there's many places where a two-year-old could cross the border. There still are, but they're changing that, and there's obviously a big fight for whether they're going to have the fencing necessary and the Border Patrol being deployed in an intelligent way that will actually prevent this traffic. And what I heard when I started going down there 3.5 years ago was that everything has changed since the cartels have taken over the border, where it was years ago there were many people who were just coming over to work, and it's a myth that that's still happening. There are people coming over to work, and there are people who are very good, decent, hardworking people who come across the border illegally, but there's much more traffic by people who are criminal illegal aliens who have committed many crimes, who have to pay exorbitant rates if they want to come into the country. And the way they treat the people who live down there has changed dramatically. I don't want to say that there's no positive people who are considered illegal aliens, because there are some, and I know of some, that are still coming over illegally because of horrendous conditions in Mexico and Central America. But the situation is very complicated, and it has turned from where the people living on the border. By the way, the worst myth is that the people living on the border are white racists, because if you were a white racist, you would not live near the Mexican border. The ranchers who've been there for more than 100 years, they're fourth, fifth, sixth generation ranchers who live all along the border, have warm, friendly relations with the honest, decent Mexican people and Mexican Americans. And they used to help a lot of the illegal aliens to become citizens, to go through their regular process of citizenry.
Okay, so we're going to come back from a break here for the weather and discover how he was shot and what took place after that. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Nick, take it away for the weather, please.
Here's a look at your WSOY 3-day weather forecast today. We've got a chance of some snow flurries before 10 o'clock.
Mostly cloudy with a high near 23. Wind chill values between negative 3 and 7, so please bundle up. Tonight we've got mostly cloudy and then clear with a low around 14. And for Tuesday, sunny with a high of 30. And Wednesday, a little warmer yet, mostly cloudy with a high near 38. The current temperature in downtown Decatur is back down a degree to 11, and your WSOY time is 7:51.
We're looking into the new year with 2020 Vision as the Community Foundation of Macon County celebrates our 20th anniversary throughout this year. This is Foundation President Natalie Beck, and I invite you to join us as we honor the transformational impact and generosity of donors who have created lasting change by advancing innovation. Our roots were firmly planted by the generations of donors before us. Our grant making reflects a focus on the environment, agriculture, and sustainable practices, on education that is inclusive, collaborative, and resourceful, on workforce and economic development that accelerates regional innovation and promotes social change. We are your homegrown community foundation, and we invite you to join us. If you're unsure what causes or organizations you'd like to help, we can work with you to determine where your giving will make the biggest impact. For more information, call us today at 429-3000 or visit MaconCountyGives.org.
When it comes to your family's health, there's no greater resource than a network of care. Decatur Memorial Hospital has joined Memorial Health System, bringing together the exceptional care found at DMH with the strength and resources of a regional healthcare leader. From primary care to innovative medicine, your family is now covered in more ways and more places. Memorial Health System and Decatur Memorial Hospital, together for you. Learn more at dmhcares.com.
Hi, JR here from Speed Lube, and I'm just like you. I don't like waiting around for something to get done either. At Speed Lube, we pride ourselves in offering you the best customer service experience in as little time needed, featuring quality Pennzoil motor oil. Speed Lube and Pennzoil are two names you can trust to keep your vehicle running at tip-top shape regardless of the weather. Stop in and visit us at any of our six convenient Decatur area locations or our shops in Lincoln and Clinton, and get your Pennzoil oil change today at Speed Lube.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
Huey, do you feel like you're in high school when you hear that music?
I love that song. That is such a wonderful song.
Nick's just going old school today. Old school. I appreciate it very much, Nick. So this book, Who Shot Nick Ivey?, is the story about a border agent who gets killed. How did he die?
He died. He was going up to a sensor on a mountain ridge. The electronic sensor was triggered. He had placed it there because he knew that it was a very hot smuggling trail that went over this mountain. And when he went up there, he was in radio contact with two other agents. When he arrived, he said, "I'm there. I see sign of two," which means that he saw footprints of two smugglers that he believed were fresh. And he said, "Where are you?" The other two agents said, "We're checking our GPS. We're 1/10 of a mile out, which is 3 minutes on foot." As soon as they arrived at the saddle, the smugglers who were hiding there at the saddle opened fire on them, killed Nick Ivey with one shot to the middle of his forehead. One of the other agents returned fire. He was injured, and the other agent was uninjured. And the two surviving agents had FBI interviews. I have all the transcripts of the FBI interviews. Their stories agreed with each other, exactly what I said happened. There's a lot more to it that's in my book. I have the documents. I have parts of the FBI transcripts in my book. So then what happened, what made it an interesting story for me to get on, 3 days later, the FBI released a statement saying that Nick Ivey was killed by an accidental shot from another agent and nobody else was involved. So after 3 days of national, international news stories and all law enforcement saying he was killed by smugglers and that the other agent, Dave Johnson, was injured by smugglers, the narrative changed suddenly to, no, they just went up on the mountain ridge, which is a desolate, remote place, as quiet as any place you've ever been in your life. I've been up there twice. and they just started shooting
at
each
other. Why would the government want to change the story?
This was October 2. Every news story connected this with Fast and Furious. Nick worked out of the Brian Terry station. Brian Terry was the Border Patrol agent who was shot to death. That when firearms were captured that killed him, that were associated with the Fast and Furious government gun running scandal. So they had, this was 5 weeks before the election, one day before the first debate between Obama and Romney. So they wanted this to quiet down, and they did a tremendous job of quieting it down. As soon as the FBI came out with the story, it was friendly fire. Nobody else was involved. The whole story went away. All the press said.
Do you think they'll, beyond your book, will there be more details, do you suspect?
Right now, I believe that when everything else blows over, Congress will do an investigation, because they said they wanted to do an investigation immediately. As soon as this occurred, Senator Grassley.
But we're 7 years out from that now, right?
Well, it's still important because they have a big lie that they have a Border Patrol agent that was killed by friendly fire, the only Border Patrol agent that is known in the history of the Border Patrol that was killed by quote-unquote friendly fire. And it's a big lie, and it's an insult to him. They didn't give him a fair trial, and they just said he was killed by friendly fire. They say that he shot at other agents, and then they returned fire and shot him. And every Border Patrol agent says, we knew Nick. There was no way he would open fire on other agents.
My, oh, my. If people want to get the book, how do they do that?
Well, locally, the Coley's, Dale Southlake Pharmacy and the Coley's Pharmacy, that one's at South Shores and the one in Forsyth, they were kind enough to, they're carrying my books. Otherwise, AmazonBooks.com.
Is it selling well?
It's been selling very well right out of the chute.
And you're selling both here and in Arizona, I would imagine.
It's selling all over the country.
That's good news, man.
Great news.
Maybe this is your first bestseller.
I hope so.
All right, Who Shot Nick Ivey by Huey Freeman. Fascinating. There's more to the story yet to be told, I imagine, right?
There is much more to the story, and it's coming out. The FBI and the Border Patrol both supported this false narrative, and they have not answered my book at all.
All right. Well, Huey, it's been a stellar hour.
Thank you
so much.
An
hour has gone by just in a heartbeat. So we're very glad, and congratulations on the book. We'll look forward to seeing how it does in the days ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, Huey Freeman, his book's called Who Shot Nick Ivey, available at Amazon and all those kind of places. We'll be right back.